This is Jay Sekulow, a new president in Iran. What does it mean for Pastor Saeed?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Hold
on to me as I'm hoping that we will, as a country that was founded on religious freedom, roll down this unfamiliar road, and fighting for freedom, that we will continue to stand up for what is right, and we can fight for religious liberty and be a leader in the world and a leading voice in the world for that. Just know you're not alone. It is unfortunate that Christians are the number one persecuted people in the world, but not much attention or action is being taken for their protecting the religious freedom.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This administration is overly sensitive to not offending anyone or any government that is based on Islam.
We have a very large Christian population. We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens.
They kept coming to the computer and saying, "Mommy, can we see Daddy? Can we hear his voice?" And I kept saying, "No, we can't." You know, I couldn't explain to them why, that he was physically taken to prison. And finally, they kept saying, "Does Daddy not love us anymore? Does Daddy not want to hear our voice anymore?" And I had to tell them that he was in prison because he loved Jesus and that he loved them very much.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the situation in the Middle East, particularly today, really focusing in on Iran as well and the situation with Pastor Saeed Abedini. There was reports, and I want to make this very clear. There was a report this morning that Iran had released a pastor of a large Pentecostal church. He was conditionally released. This is not Pastor Saeed, however. This was another pastor of the Central Assemblies of God Church. He was taken into custody just back in May. So while we're glad that he's out under this conditional release by the new president of Iran, this is not Saeed Abedini we're talking about. Jordan, let's get an update. We're going to be joined, by the way, with Nagme Abedini coming up on the broadcast after the next segment. So if you want to talk to Nagme, express your concern, your prayers, your thoughts for the Abedini family, call us at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, what is the latest on Pastor Saeed's situation?
288 days, 17 hours that he's been in prison because of his Christian faith. There's been a new surge, and we'll talk to Nagme about this, in activity surrounding Saeed inside the prison. Interrogations relating to his Christian witness inside the prison, you know, sharing his faith. Other prisoners are being asked questions about him. They're being and there's a concern that possibly new charges, the idea that, you know, he's disruption or another charge against the regime. Because if you're a new president like Iran has, and now you're dealing with a prisoner who is an American citizen, you're trying to figure out what to do with him. The possibility of new charges is something that Iran does.
Well, that's exactly right. So what we're looking at is a situation we're going to go through in the next segment of the broadcast with Nagme where things are. But, folks, let me ask you this question. A, is our government doing enough? B, what do we do for those that are persecuted for their faith around the globe? The ACLJ is front and center on so many of these issues because of your help. If you want to talk to us on air or talk to Nagme, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Also, a huge thank you to our ACLJ members. You are coming through in record ways in our matching challenge. That is still going on at ACLJ.org. And if you want to call on the new president of Iran to release Saeed Abedini, then sign the petition. You can do that at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255 to sign the petition for Saeed. But also remember, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we get a matching grant for it. ACLJ.org. And if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110.
When you lose something. The nation of Egypt is in chaos as the Muslim Brotherhood fights to keep control and impose radical Islam on the people of Egypt. It's clear that Christians are in the crosshairs and remain in grave danger. Radical Islam targets Coptic Christians in Egypt, a troubling fact that permeates the Middle East. We see it firsthand in Iran, where Christian pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen, remains imprisoned simply because of his Christian faith. As he approaches 300 days in captivity, the ACLJ remains committed to securing Pastor Saeed's freedom, to protecting the religious freedom and human rights of Christians everywhere. Stand with the ACLJ right now and add your name to the more than 600,000 people around the world who are demanding the release of Pastor Saeed from an Iranian prison. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at savesaeed.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American Pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, savesaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org.
Everybody, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you to sign on to the petition for Pastor Saeed Abedini. We are renewing our efforts again. Jordan was just at the UN in Geneva, and we're going to continue our efforts there. Jordan, what is the next move? By the way, if you want to talk to us on air, it's 800-684-3110. Signing that petition, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And again, we're in that matching challenge, so any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. But if you haven't signed the petition for Saeed, do it today at ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Jordan, let's kind of go back and take a look at what we've done most recently, because we just had two big events in Geneva, and another that was at our European Center for Law and Justice on Religious Persecution just a few days ago in our office in Strasbourg, in the parliament, actually, there.
That's right. We had a team from our U.S. office as well as our European office meeting with members from the European Parliament. So you've got representation from around the world. A number of these members of parliament have been very outspoken on behalf of the persecuted pastors in Iran. They did a lot of work for Youssef Nadarkhani, and they have already done work for Saeed Abedini, and they're doing it in the unique way that works kind of how we're doing it here in the United States to our audience and to our supporters, that works in places like the Netherlands or Austria. And they came together to come together and kind of come up with a strategy to take this more global. And the bigger fight, of course, for religious freedom and the Christian persecution issue, but also the specific individuals like Saeed. On top of that, just about a month ago, we were at the UN Human Rights Council. Nagme met with the U.S. ambassador to the UN Human Rights Council, who tweeted out a photo with her. They were very supportive. She was able to address, and we've played some of that on the air before and on our television broadcast, the entire UN Human Rights Council because of our NGO status right at the United Nations through the European Center for Law and Justice. I addressed twice. Our European director, Gregor, has addressed it in French and English. We're talking to, there's 47 countries that are members of the Human Rights Council, but all UN member states can participate. And during these major conferences, you're talking about 100-plus ambassadors out of the 194 members of the UN, 193 members of the United Nations who are official states, plus all the territories and everyone else. At least 100 are there listening to you the whole time. I mean, it's very right. serious, because it only happens a few times a year. And having Nagme do that is unprecedented, because she doesn't have to fear for the retribution returning back to Iran, because she's here in the United States.
Well, we are fortunate that we have Nagme on the phone with us right now from Idaho, and we're thrilled that she's with us. Nagme, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Tell us the latest that you've heard. I know Jordan's got a series of questions here, but I wanted to ask you, Nagmi, first. What has your family in Iran heard from Saeed, how he's doing? What's the latest there?
Physically, he's doing better, but he's still struggling with the bleeding, and he still has pain. And we continue to ask for medical treatment, but he has not been treated yet. And he's been threatened that he would be moved to a different prison in the south of Iran. It seems like they're, even after the presidential election in Iran, they've been harsher towards him. They're not treating him very well inside of the prison. So
report that came out today that the head of the Assemblies of God Church that was arrested in May, they closed his church. He was arrested in May, but they released him conditionally today, although they closed the church. If your family that's been talking with, that's met with Saeed or visited Saeed recently, what are they hearing? What words are you getting from people in Iran about the state of things right now with the new president? Any movement there at all, or is it still pretty much the same line of attack here?
You know, the Christian community especially believes there's not much. There will not be much change in the way they're treating the Christians. They did release the Assembly of God pastor. He's not Muslim born. He's Armenian, and he never converted to Christianity. And the church is shut down. They still see Christianity as a threat. And the church was speaking Farsi, which is the language of Iran.
Right.
And so they still are shutting down, or they're trying to root out Christianity and are shutting down churches and arresting pastors and threatening them if they continue sharing the gospel or preaching in Farsi. So their mission in rooting out Christianity in Iran continues. And there hasn't been much change. The Supreme Leader is the same, and their strategy is still the same.
We're taking your calls to talk to Nagmi at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, to you.
Yes, let's take phone calls. I know people want to talk to Nagmi directly. That's part about this is a live broadcast, folks. If you want to talk to Nagmi, call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Diane calling in from Virginia on line one. Diane, welcome to JSecio Live.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I just wanted to extend our heartfelt prayers and concerns for you and your family. And my son is in prison also for crime, not for your husband. But your husband is a witness to our family. And I send his, what he is going through, I send it to my son. And he passes it around the prison that he's in to give them strength and to let your husband be a witness to prisoners here in America. But I'm also praying that it will be a witness to the Muslim nation, that any of the Muslims that would lack strength or courage who might be feeling a call to Christ would see his witness and come out and be strengthened because of your husband. And I know there's great blessing for you and your family in it.
Nagmi, what do you hear from when you get word from your husband, from Saeed or from his family members that are there? I mean, what life in prison is obviously horrible for him, but he's been a consistent witness for Christ in prison.
He has. That's what his passion is. He always shared and always shares that he had no hope. He had no joy in his life until he found Christ. So it's something especially in the prison when he sees people who are devastated with long-term sentences or death penalties, and he gets to tell them there's hope. And some of the prisoners have shared with Saeed's family when they visited that the prison doesn't seem like a prison anymore since they found Christ, that they don't feel the prison walls anymore. They feel free. And so, you know, that's what he's passionate for. And even though he's being threatened and he just can't stop. It's something that saved him. It's something that gave him hope and joy in life despite the circumstances. And even in prison, we see that. He's under a lot of pressure, psychological torture, physical torture, but he has joy and he has peace that the guards can't take away from him.
Folks,
and they're
trying
to take that.
Right. If you want to talk to Nagmi, 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 800-684-3110. Zero. And Jordan, I know you've been working behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, actually, our whole team has. Give us the latest with Nagmi here on what's the next move.
Well, we're working right now on a new plan. We're approaching again. We're at 289 days, 288 days, and 17 hours. Saeed has been imprisoned, but he's been gone now over a year. And we'll talk to Nagme about that in a moment. But we are now working on developing, because we have over 600,000 people that signed petitions. People are very active on Facebook and Twitter to this day. And we know Nagme has been speaking at churches around the country. There's been prayer events, grassroots events, a lot of things that have happened organically because of the initial work and the overall concern and care that and people that have invested their prayers and their time in trying to do what they can to help Saeed and to get him home to Nagme and their two children, 6 years old and 5 years old, daughter and son. So we're working now on launching a new grassroots campaign that will be for those who already signed the petition and as well as new people, focusing on the changes that have happened in Iran. We're developing it as we speak and making sure it's going to be, all, as always, something that helps and doesn't hinder. And, you know, we were very patient, again, to see what was happening with the new president, not wanting to paint him into a corner if he was trying to push for any kind of reforms. But as everyone is hearing, and I don't want to ask Nagme about this, because as we're working on our new grassroots campaign that we'll be launching soon to coincide with the arrest of Saeed at the end of this month, his initial arrest by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, Nagme, many of the changes that people expected, even the changes that occur normally after a new president is elected in Iran, many political prisoners are freed. Saeed is classified as that. You would think, okay, this American citizen, it's a problem to shift away since there's a new leadership. It's not really on their hands. But that has not been the case. In fact, things have gotten more troubling and more concerning.
Yes, it seems like more, things have gotten more, that he has more problems inside the prison now. We're hoping that we'll give the new president a chance that he would free some of these political prisoners and Christians. But I believe that we should at the same time not be too hopeful and let go of our efforts in trying to get Saeed out, that this president will do that. We shouldn't think that. And we should continue to put pressure and speak out and spread the word on trying to get Saeed out. It's been a year since we physically saw him. He left on June 22, and our family hasn't physically seen him for a year.
Well, we're doing just that. We're going to have Nagme back in the second half hour of the broadcast, folks. If you want to help Pastor Saeed, there's a number of ways to do it. SaveSaeed.org or simply go to ACLJ.org. 608,000 people have signed this petition. We're going to get that up to 700,000 soon here. But also, folks, we encourage you to call and sign on that petition, either ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Standing for the representative of the persecuted church, that's Saeed Abedini, 877-989-2255. Or ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. The nation of Egypt is in chaos as the Muslim Brotherhood fights to keep control and impose radical Islam on the people of Egypt. It's clear that Christians are in the crosshairs and remain in grave danger. Radical Islam targets Coptic Christians in Egypt, a troubling fact that permeates the Middle East. We see it firsthand in Iran, where Christian pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen, remains imprisoned simply because of his Christian faith. As he approaches 300 days in captivity, the ACLJ remains committed to securing Pastor Saeed's freedom, to protecting the religious freedom and human rights of Christians everywhere. Stand with the ACLJ right now and add your name to the more than 600,000 people around the world who are demanding the release of Pastor Saeed from an Iranian prison. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at savesaeed.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls. We're going to be talking with Nagme in about 10 minutes again. So those of you that are online, hang on the line. We'll get to your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us or Nagme about the situation with Pastor Saeed, let me turn our attention right now towards Egypt. Here's a report from Associated Press, folks. This tells you the nature. So we're talking about Christian persecution in the Middle East, in Egypt, with a mob of Muslim extremists on their tail. A Christian businessman and his nephew climbed up on the roof and ran for their lives, jumping from building to building in their southern Egyptian village. Finally, they ran out of rooftops. Forced back onto the street, they were overwhelmed by several dozen men. The attackers hacked them with axes and beat them with clubs and tree limbs, killing Emil Nassam, age 41. The nephew survived with wounds to his shoulders and head and recounted the chase to the Associated Press. I'm reading directly from the AP report here, folks. The mobs rampaged through the village of Naga Hassan, burning dozens of Christian houses and stabbing to death three other Christians as well. Came 2 days after the military ouster of Islamist President Mohamed Morsi from power. It was no coincidence that the attackers found a focus on Nassim and his family. He was the village's most prominent campaigner calling for Morsi's removal. Christians are paying the price for their activism with their lives. That's according, folks, to the Associated Press. So this is a huge, huge battle going on right now. And we got to ask ourselves, what's the right course of action? We think holding the funding right now until we find out who's in charge. We're talking short term here, folks. If it is, in fact, a secular-led, military-led government, that will be fine. I'd fund the money. I certainly would give humanitarian aid because the humanitarian crisis there is significant. But we got to be careful with weapons, although weapons have been shipped over there. But you couple that with the situation with Pastor Saeed. You realize Christians in the Middle East are being brutalized, and we're fighting back on that. If you want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Remember this also, folks. We're in a matching challenge campaign right now. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ helps us here in the United States and around the globe. We get a matching gift for it. It's tax deductible. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And again, you can also go to ACLJ.org or call that number to sign on to the petition for Saeed. We're over 608,000. Jordan, let's turn our attention to Egypt. What is the latest in Washington? I know Senator Paul's making a move politically to no funding until we figure out what's going on here.
Well, you know, it appears that the way the law is written, that the funding couldn't go anyways because you've got a coup. And though the administration, this is the typical Washington, it may be a coup for all intents and purposes, but since the military's not in charge, maybe it doesn't qualify, so they're not classifying it yet. This goes back to the discretion that the executive branch has when it comes to this funding, that even when it's very clear that the military takes power, that word is a coup, that right. Because of the way the power was transferred, it may not be technically a coup, so it doesn't stop the money. For instance, as Fox News reported today, the F-16s are going. There's two more that are going to be delivered next month. They say the State Department has said that's not going to be affected. So the Department of Defense, we spent $83 million updating one of their Air Force facilities for these new F-16s. And this is just the small part of the order starting to go over. So everything is staying on track, similar to how when the Muslim Brotherhood came in and people were concerned, why are we funding that? Here we have a coup. It looks like our law would stop the funding, but the U.S. government seems to be interpreting this as not a coup, which means the funding will continue. The question is, who is controlling these resources? Is there an effective government in place that can actually do something with $1 billion and two F-16s? Are they able to keep this going? And how much do we trust them for not turning on their own people? The Muslim Brotherhood is causing a lot of trouble. They're hacking to death Christians all over the country. But at the same time, they're also attacking the military. Then the military is on camera, and all the news cameras show them shooting Muslim Brotherhood guys in the head when they're attacking the base. It's not good optics for the military, and it's a very tough situation. Christian villages are being overrun as we speak.
I'll tell you, there's something else here, and that is you got the Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesperson saying, urging Morsi supporters to continue their quest for reinstating him. Just released, just got information that the Muslim Brotherhood will be welcomed into the new government in Egypt. And that's why I think what Senator Rand Paul said is absolutely correct. Take a listen to number 12.
What I've said is, why don't we start by not sending money to enemies of Israel? And I don't think Egypt is to be counted on as a great friend of Israel. I don't think the Syrian Islamic rebels are great friends of Israel. I wouldn't give them money or arms also. I don't think that it's a good idea to continue to fund the Muslim countries that are surrounding Israel.
I tend to think that Senator Paul's right on this. I'm no problem giving humanitarian aid, but short of that, I am really, really concerned about this. Let's go to Michael. He's on line three in California. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Cut support to all countries that laws don't reflect the religious values of the United States. I mean, if that doesn't work, enact severe sanctions. Now, I know Obama's not going to do this, but if we can get a Christian conservative in there, like maybe Huckabee or even Mitt Romney, which is a Mormon, but, you know...
Yeah, but there's not another presidential election for 3 years. I mean, the world's going to look... Michael, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but the world's going to look completely different. We got to deal with the reality of what we've got right now. And right now, what we've got is the House and Senate doesn't know exactly what to do. That's a good thing on the funding. The president's still trying to ship over the F-16s, which may be okay, but probably not until we know who's in control. If it is, in fact, a legitimate secular government that's going to get rid of this Muslim Brotherhood dominance, at least, that could be a positive direction. But I just think the safe thing to do right now is hold. Don't commit to something we can't necessarily support at the end of the day. And I think, again, what Senator Paul said is absolutely correct. Why are we giving money to Muslim-led governments that are aims and enemies of Israel, but also enemies of the United States? And that's what we really have to deal with. Folks, when we come back in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Nagma Abedini again. I want to encourage you to call her and tell her what you're thinking and praying for her and her family. If you want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Those of you that are on the line, stay on the line. We'll get to you in the next segment of the program. Remember, the entire broadcast, the whole hour, if you go to ACLJ.org, it's streaming there. It's on SiriusXM, a number of stations as well. ACLJ.org or 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Also, as we're closing this segment out, I'd be remiss to not remind everyone that we are in our matching challenge campaign. And, folks, that's where you come in. And we have had a great response so far to this. And Jordan, just quickly here, as I get ready to ask people to support the ACLJ, just mention what we've done in the last 3 weeks in between Geneva and the European Parliament on the Saeed matter, but also religious persecution. Just give you a sample of what's been done in just the last month.
Sure. At the European Parliament, at the Council of Europe in Strasbourg, France, where our European Center for Law and Justice is headquartered, last week, actually the day before July 4th, there was a summit put together there by members of the European Parliament. They represent a number of countries. It's much bigger than the European Union. And so you're talking about 64 countries that are members of the European Parliament, came together at an ECLJ co-sponsored event with members of the European Parliament on Christian persecution in the Muslim world. And, of course, there was a focus on Saeed Abedini. And we had staff here from the United States. We had our European team in, again, bringing new people into the fight. As well, we were a month ago at the UN Human Rights Council. So we have taken this global. We've taken it to the media. But we continue to need your prayers, your support, and to share the story from SaveSaeed.org.
All right, folks, SaveSaeed.org, or go to ACLJ.org, sign that petition, support the work of the ACLJ. Call us at 1-877-989-2255. Tell the operator I'm standing with Saeed and his family, or ACLJ.org. Make that online gift. We get a matching grant for it. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255, taking a stand for Christians who can't speak for themselves. Back with more in a moment.
The ACLJ remains committed to securing Pastor Saeed's freedom, to protecting the religious freedom and human rights of Christians everywhere. Stand with the ACLJ right now and add your name to the more than 600,000 people around the world who are demanding the release of Pastor Saeed from an Iranian prison. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at SaveSaeed.org.
Christians in the Middle East right now, this is a very difficult time for Saeed Abedini. He's in prison. We're joined by Nagme after the next segment of the broadcast. We want to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Lamarck is on line one. He's calling from Colorado. Hi, Lamarck. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you, Jay. I sure appreciate you reporting on this. I believe as we move closer to the end times, the religious persecution is going to increase. But do you have, like, any statistics to verify that the religious persecution is increasing in the Muslim world? And number two, is any ambassadors or the State Department involved in trying to release this pastor from out of that situation?
Both great questions. I'll answer the one about the statistics. I'll let Jordan answer what the State Department's doing. On the statistical front, there are reports done by the International Religious Liberty Commission of the State Department. There are human rights organizations, not just the ACLJ and ECLJ, but others as well. And the fact is that at the end of the day, the Christian persecution is the highest it's ever been. This is throughout the Middle East, with the exception being Israel, by the way. But if you look at Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Turkey, the Christian persecution has increased monumentally. On the State Department side, Jordan, you and your team have been heavily engaged, but let's give an update on that as well.
Sure. The State Department has made a 180 on some issues, especially the U.S. Ambassadors that we have at the Human Rights Council. For instance, Eileen Donahoe, who spent a lot of time with Nagme when we were in Geneva, tweeted out photos, was very public about the U.S. Call for the release of Saeed Abedini. They've included him in more of their documentation. They've spoken out more, and we're grateful for that. There's always a question about whether or not the Secretary of State, who is dealing with a lot of issues right now, and the President of the United States are doing enough, the White House. Could they be doing more? But what we were told by the ambassador is that Saeed is at the top of the list when they are in those negotiations with Iran. It's certainly something that they basically said, to sum it up, keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop and don't change a thing. Keep it up. Keep it on our attention. Keep the focus on. You know, a lot of these government officials, Dad, they'll tell you very honestly, you've got to keep pressure on us because, you know, they're being pulled in all these different directions. So you've got to make sure that the name keeps coming up in discussions. You keep pushing, and occasionally you go to the media and you tell the media, hey, I think they could be doing more. It's not seen as just a fight. It's also seen as a reminder because there's lots of Americans all over the world, and sometimes you've got to focus attention, and people have certainly done that by the petition we have with over 600,000 names. And we know, folks, I know from so many of you who are waiting to get more action items so you can get more done and feel like you're doing more, and we're developing it now. We had to get through the election time, very sensitive time, because though sometimes prisoners are released, other times prisoners are executed, like back in 2009 when there were mass executions at the same prison Saeed is in. Thousands were executed, disappeared forever because of the uproar. That didn't happen this time, so we're able now to go back to the drawing board with the next grassroots strategy,
which we're putting in place right now, folks. Look, when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Nagme is going to be on the line with us. So 800-684-3110. Tell her what you're praying for, that you're thinking about her and her family. Ask her any questions. She'd be happy to answer it. 1-800-684-3110. Also, a quick update on the IRS matter. Next week, we're going to be formally rejecting the request from, and this is significant here, folks, the request from the IRS, this offer of, quote, expedited review to these conservative organizations. And there was not only nothing to it, but it required more verifications, more questions answered, higher penalties. It was an outrage. And we're going to formally respond to that next week. Again, we're in a matching challenge. If you want to help us out, it's easy to do. ACLJ.org. You can make an online gift. Any amount you give, we get a matching grant for. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255 for that matching challenge campaign. We encourage you to do that. And again, Nagme will be coming up. If you want to talk to her, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment. The promises we made.
The nation of Egypt is in chaos as the Muslim Brotherhood fights to keep control and impose radical Islam on the people of Egypt. It's clear that Christians are in the crosshairs and remain in grave danger. Radical Islam targets Coptic Christians in Egypt, a troubling fact that permeates the Middle East. We see it firsthand in Iran, where Christian pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen, remains imprisoned simply because of his Christian faith. As he approaches 300 days in captivity, the ACLJ remains committed to securing Pastor Saeed's freedom, to protecting the religious freedom and human rights of Christians everywhere. Stand with the ACLJ right now and add your name to the more than 600,000 people around the world who are demanding the release of Pastor Saeed from an Iranian prison. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at savesaeed.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you want to talk to Nagma Abedini, she's on the phone with us right now. So give us a call at 800-684-3110. And Jordan, there's been a lot of people holding to speak to Nagma. Let's go right to him.
Sure. Right to the phones we go. Let's go to Joan in Michigan on line two. Joan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're talking to Jordan, Jay, and Nagma.
Hi. Thank you. I hope you can hear me because I'm on the road traveling and I couldn't resist the call. First, I want to say to Nagma how much I admire her and Saeed for standing up for Christ through all the suffering that they've gone through. We did put in a prayer. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I've been a member since 12 years old. I'm over 65 years old now. And we did put in a prayer for the persecution of the Christians. What my question is, if they offer him to leave the country, and if he does that and he can still preach the gospel even though he's leaving the country, do you think that's something he would consider? Because it pains me, it pains my heart what he's going through.
Now, may I let you, why don't you answer that for him? I want to just say at the outset that he was the arrest of Saeed was nothing to do with preaching the gospel. It was his work on an orphanage, which was approved by the government. But Nagma, that's a good question. What do you think?
Yes, you know, he was there because of the orphanage and nothing about the preaching the gospel. Even they charged him with threatening national security was because of Christian gatherings happening between 2000 and 2005, so it dates back to years earlier. But Saeed had offered that he would give up his passport, he would not go back if they would let him go, and they haven't done that. That's definitely something Saeed has thought about, that he would not return and not go to the country if they would let him go. But, you know, one thing they want of him is to deny Christ, and he won't do that.
Well, and then that's the denial of Christ was something that they brought out early on here, and that was part of what they were trying to do. That's because they used that then as basically as a tool for the government. So he's been remaining unbelievably strong during that process. Again, if you want to talk to Nagma, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget savesaeed.org. That's savesaeed.org. Or you can call and add your name to that petition at either aclj.org or 877-989-2255. But we've got a whole site for Saeed at savesaeed.org. Jordan, who's next?
Let's go to Cindy in Illinois. She's been holding to talk to Nangmei. And, folks, I have to say this, too, as someone who's spent time traveling with Nangmei and was at the UN Human Rights Council, it takes a lot of strength to get up before a number of countries, including Iran and their ambassador and other predominantly Muslim countries, and speak out the way Nangmei did. If you haven't watched that video, I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org or SaveSaeed.org. It's right on the front of the homepage at SaveSaeed.org, and watch that. But Cindy, you're on with us talking to Nangmei and us on Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you very much. Nangmei, I just want you to know that people are praying for you and your husband and your children day and night. I don't know how many times we wake up in the middle of the night and we're praying for you guys, or through the day when we hear the different updates. And so I just want you to be encouraged. In Job 37:5, a verse that I came across was, "He is doing great things beyond our understanding." And may that encourage you as he's happened to go through so much that we can't even imagine. And then I've been praying for the leaders in that country and for the people that are in that prison that are overseeing him, as I pray for his protection and stuff, that Ezekiel 36:27 says, "I remove from them a heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." And so I ask others to join me in praying for that, for those that are over him. We know that God ultimately wants them to come to faith. And I just appreciate you. I appreciate ACLJ for all that you're doing. Thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate your prayers. Nangmei, let me ask you this, following that up. How are your kids doing? How are you doing?
It's been hard. It's been since June. It hit me that it's been a year, and it's been hard since then, to be honest, that it's been a year since we've seen him. It doesn't seem maybe long to very many people, but it seems like years to our family, and it's hard. I have to teach the kids early on to be patient and trust God. And you know, I want to, the caller that called in, I want to say that I do also really appreciate what ACLJ has done. They're really, you know, I got to meet with some of the staff recently in Virginia Beach, and it was just and share with them what I didn't know where to go. I was devastated when I heard the news. End of July was when they wouldn't let him leave the country, and he was supposed to return to our family. And you know, ACLJ was right there and has been fighting, been the leader in fighting for Saeed's freedom and speaking for Christian persecution, and I appreciate that. But it's been hard. It's been a really hard year.
Well, you know, and these situations are tough, and we are redoubling our efforts, Jordan. And give a brief, and then we got a couple more calls I want to get to here, but Jordan, give a brief on what's coming next, because people are wanting to know, as you said in the last segment, people want to know, you know, what can we do next? Sure. But we can go ahead and take some calls first, and we could do that at the end.
Sure. I mean, I would just say, I could say very quickly, Saeed was arrested on July 28th, and we started working on the case immediately with Nangmei. He was not located for a number of days. Then he was put under house arrest, and then in September, on September 26th, he was supposed to get a phone call about, you know, what was happening. Is he going to be charged? Is he going to be let out? Is it handled? Or, you know, what seemed to be the problem? And no phone call. And then in the early hours of September 26, where he was at his parents' home in Tehran, under house arrest, stormed by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and he's been in prison ever since that day. So it started, though, the arrest started, though Saeed's been gone now for his trip for more than a year. The arrest started at the end of this month, and now as things have settled a bit, though it's still tough for anybody, if you read the experts of the world, to predict how much influence this new president will or won't have. Will he be the puppet that Ahmadinejad was, or is he going to butt heads a little bit with the Ayatollahs, some other presidents have in the past under the Islamic Republic, like President Khatami? Could that be the case? Well, we're now seeing that there hasn't been a significant change to the way prisoners are being treated, the political prisoners. So we will have a new campaign If you've signed the petition, it will be something brand new to do, and it will bring more people in as well. And it's our team has been working on it for a couple of months. So this is going to be a big launch. Lots of new things to share online with social media and to bring new people to this cause around the world. I want to take more phone calls because I know people want to talk to Nagmay. Kelly in Idaho on line three. Kelly, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Nagmay, sweetheart. We just want you down here. I'm down here in Kimberly, Idaho. We're just literally your neighbors. We just want you to know that in the local churches around here, Saeed's name has spread like wildfire, and that all the prayers of the saints of this area are going up to the Father and on his behalf. And I feel like the Lord wants me to let you know that, to remind you of the promise in Jeremiah that he has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. And I pray all the time for you and your family, and I know that Saeed is okay because it's been revealed to me. He's okay. Mm-hmm. So I just want you to know those things, Nagmay, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate all of the prayers. That means so much to me and your encouraging words. Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate it. I mean, it's so refreshing to hear so many are praying and are being woken up in the middle of the night, and churches are praying. And thank you for the encouraging verse that God's
let me,
prayed, and he's listening.
Kelly, thank you for your phone call. And now I'm going to take this another call. Someone's been holding on to talk to you. Sheila in Florida on line one. Sheila, you're talking to Nagmay.
This is Sheila, and I'm in Clearwater. And I just want to let you know all this, of course, that the enemy is so strong, but the Lord Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. So that's what I wanted to tell you. I love you. I'm praying for your husband.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you something. Go ahead, Jordan.
No, I mean, we just have about a minute left, and I just want to give you, 30 seconds. If there's anything you wanted to share with our audience and the people who have been out there praying for you and sharing Saeed's story as they continue on this fight.
Just want to say thank you. I've been receiving your letters. I've been receiving your notes and verses, and I appreciate every encouragement ACLG's been giving me, all the letters you've been sending, and so I appreciate them, and I'm very thankful for every one of them, and I read every one of them, and I'm encouraged. So especially days that it's hard, I just open one up and read the encouragements. So thank you.
Well, very good. We appreciate that, Nagmay. And again, thank our listeners. Again, SaveSaeed.org, or just go to ACLJ.org, sign on to that petition, or call us right now at 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org. Or 877-989-2255. We got a lot more ahead. Important interview with Nagmay that was just done with CBN News. You're going to want to see that or hear that. And again, if you want to participate in our matching challenge, ACLJ.org. Simply support us there. You'll be getting an email alert about it very shortly. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Stay tuned. A lot more ahead.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at ACLJ.org. The nation of Egypt is in chaos as the Muslim Brotherhood fights to keep control and impose radical Islam on the people of Egypt. It's clear that Christians are in the crosshairs and remain in grave danger. Radical Islam targets Coptic Christians in Egypt, a troubling fact that permeates the Middle East. We see it firsthand in Iran, where Christian pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen, remains imprisoned simply because of his Christian faith.
As he approaches 300 days in captivity, the ACLJ remains committed to securing Pastor Saeed's freedom, to protecting the religious freedom and human rights of Christians everywhere. Stand with the ACLJ right now and add your name to the more than 600,000 people around the world who are demanding the release of Pastor Saeed from an Iranian prison. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at savesaeed.org.
And the tears come streaming down your face when you lose something you can't replace.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Listen, it was great to have Nagmeh in studio with us today. Chance to, for all of you to hear an update on Pastor Saeed's situation. Of course, if you have not yet signed the petition for Pastor Saeed's release, go to savesaeed.org and sign your name. Add your name to that petition now. Listen, I want to play for you an interview that Nagmeh did with CBN for the 700 Club, giving everybody there at CBN an update on Pastor Saeed's situation. Since we had her on the broadcast today, I thought this would be a good opportunity for you to hear this interview that she did with CBN. So let's go ahead and roll it again. This is Nagmeh on CBN.
And please welcome to the 700 Club, Nagmeh Abedini. It's great to have you here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, tell us the latest on your husband. Has anybody seen him, and how is he holding up?
Mm-hmm. His family gets to see him every week, so they saw him this week, and he was doing okay. He's still, he's had some beatings, and so he still has issues with his internal bleeding. He's much better, but there's still pains, and we're still hoping to get him treated for his physical pain.
Is he in solitary confinement?
No, he was in solitary early May, and they were supposed to keep him there for 20 days, but they ended up keeping him for 10 days, and it was a way to break him and have him repent of his faith and deny Christ. And he actually came out of solitary, even though he went in with a lot of pain and bleeding, and he actually came out much better. He had had an encounter with God, but he still... he's had a few beatings, and he still needs medical attention.
Well, Iran has a new president, President Rouhani. Is this good news at all for your husband, or will it factor in at all?
You know, he at the same day he was elected, there was a Christian sentence to a few years in prison. I above Rouhani is the supreme leader, Khamenei, who really controls everything, and his mindset, his policy towards Christianity has always been the same, that they see it as a national threat, security to their national threat to their national security. And I don't see much of a change. I hope they try to present, try to bring more freedom for the Christians and really Saeed. But
right now, you don't think it'll make much of a difference?
I don't think it's going to make much of a difference.
Mm-hmm. Nagmeh, you were born in Iran to Muslim parents, grew up Muslim. How did you become a Christian?
God's grace. I was always seeking him. I grew up when I was very young in Iran, and there was a war, and there was bombs, and people were dying around me. There was a war with Iran and Iraq, and I always, that made me think about who is God, where is he, and I tried to find him through Islam, and at the young age, 8 or 9, and when I came to the States, my brother had a vision of Christ, and he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And my
and you were young, right?
We were 8 or 9, and my and Jesus said, you know, and he felt such a strong love, and when he saw that vision, he came to me and he told me, and he was a changed person. And so
you got saved based on your brother's dream about Jesus.
But it was we're twins, so we're so close. I just saw he was so shaken, and so I accepted Christ at that age.
Talk about childlike faith.
Yeah, and it's been, you know, it's been an amazing journey. My parents thought, they were very angry. They secluded us from friends. We couldn't see any friends. We couldn't go to church. We couldn't have a Bible for most of, from 9 till I was 18. And they thought they're going to forget about this. They've just been brainwashed by the West. And I never forgot about him. And he's always been in my heart, and he's always been directing me and guiding me. And even without a Bible or without any fellowship, he's always been there.
Well, how did you meet Saeed?
Soon after September 11th, November of 2001, actually earlier that year, in summer of 2001, the Lord had really put on my heart to go back to Iran. And I purchased the ticket for October of 2001. And in September 11, when the attacks happened in New York, Everyone said, maybe you shouldn't go back. It's dangerous in the Middle East. But I felt the Lord telling me to go back to share the gospel with the Muslims, to be, you know, love on them and share about Christ.
And when you first saw him, I mean, you'd been praying for a man who wasn't ordinary.
No, yes, I've been praying. I said, Lord, I don't care about money. I don't care about status. I want someone who's passionate, sold out to you. And I would have never thought that, I mean, I'm so blessed to have Saeed as my husband, but I would have never thought he'd be so passionate. And when I met him, he was just a worshiper and such a prayer warrior. And I just loved his passion for Christ.
Nagmeh, what was he doing, exactly what was he doing when he was arrested last summer?
He was working on an orphanage that a government approved. He was working with the government to start. We'd started on the orphanage since 2009, and the kids and I had gone back with them in 2011 and stayed for a few months hoping the orphanage would be open.
He was there under government approval. Yes.
They had approved it. He was working with them.
Yeah. Now, you have two young children. How are they coping? I know they must be missing their dad terribly.
Oh, it's been hard. Recently, I shared a video on my Facebook that shows Jacob crying, saying, Jesus, I love you, bring daddy home. Mm. And he's just in tears. And they sent out balloons and messages to Jesus saying, bring him home. And, you know, like childlike faith, they prayed. And then they wake up. And sometimes they wake up, they had a dream, and they look around. And they say, is daddy home yet? And I say, no, we just got to wait. I try to speak to them from the Bible about patience. And
but you believe he will come home?
I do. I've had to, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I've had to say, I believe God's going to deliver. But even if he doesn't, he's still a good God. And I've had to really lay it at the altar. I've learned to not control situations or push God for a certain outcome, and just to let go and say, God, you know, you are a good God. You've been so gracious and kind to us during this time. And whatever the outcome, I do hope he's going to come home, but whatever the outcome, God's still God. And
you have been so strong for your kids, but you've just been strong in general. You've been on every TV show. You've been in front of Congress. You've been to the UN, working tirelessly to educate people and to let them know what's happening to your husband. How do you do that? Where do you get the strength?
From Christ. I was a crumbling mess, and I found a connection to the vine. And the Bible says, you know, when we find that connection, the fruit comes. And I have to say, one of the highlights, it's been a year since I physically held my husband and said goodbye. We said on June 22nd of 2012, I said a quick goodbye. I said, see you in a few weeks, you know, never thinking. But I look at the year, speaking before the UN, I got to share about Christ. I got to say, Christ, Saeed is in prison because he believes Jesus Christ died for the sin of humanity, and whoever believes in him can be reconciled to God. I got to say that in front of 196 countries, and as I was speaking, they had earpieces, and it was being translated in their language, and they got to hear. I know the Lord has given me strength to fight for my husband, but also he's given me a platform to share his gospel where the UN might have never had this straightforward message about the gospel. And you know, they were talking about peace and bringing world peace. And I got to share that this is the only way. And the end of the message, I said, and this is the God of peace you're all looking for. And so it's been amazing to the platform God has given me to fight for my husband, but also really to share the gospel, which is what this world needs. Mm-hmm. Our world is getting darker and darker. And
again, that was Nagmeh on CBN. Listen, if you have not yet added your name to our petition to save Saeed, now would be a great time to do it. To do so, you can either call 877-989-2255, or an easy way to do it is to go to SaveSaeed.org. That's SaveSaeed.org. SaveSaeed.org. Stand for Pastor Saeed and his freedom.
The ACLJ remains committed to securing Pastor Saeed's freedom, to protecting the religious freedom and human rights of Christians everywhere. Stand with the ACLJ right now and add your name to the more than 600,000 people around the world who are demanding the release of Pastor Saeed from an Iranian prison. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at SaveSaeed.org.